The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, coming off of a 20-17 loss at the hands of the Detroit Lions in Detroit. In dramatic fashion, by the way, in rather dramatic fashion.
If you're going to lose, you lose in dramatic fashion.
If you're going to do it, then you might as well do it last minute. It looked like the Skins were going to win, give Matthew Stafford about, what, a minute, 5 seconds left on the clock and the ball, and next thing you know, you lost 20-17.
Didn't seem a lot of effort into it,
but
either.
It's interesting. Well, yeah, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. There were a couple plays in that scoring drive where the Redskins went up 17-13 that I thought may have been mistakes. I mean, week one we were on the Cowboys receiver Terrence Williams for not getting out of bounds, but I think it was Chris Thompson who ran out of bounds and stopped the clock on that play where he could have stayed in bounds, kept the clock running, and so that way when you score you've got. But we'll talk about that a little bit later coming up on the Federal Football Report. The Redskins fall to 4-3 on the season. 20-17, headed to London, by the way. They'll face off with the Cincinnati Bengals in London. Now, before the game, around 11 o'clock this morning, I got a text from Kevin Stanfield. Because, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, when you want to hit the studio, when you want to do the game, he hits me back and said, we'll do it. Then he says, I've got a bad feeling about it. Now, when I mean bad, he has got six A's in bad.
I got a bad feeling about this one.
I think we may have praised the defense too much last week. And so I won't say what I responded, what I said. But, yeah, and so it seemed like you were right with this one.
Yeah, we were, after thinking about it, we were making these boys into the 85 Bears, you know, for a while. And, you know, at first we were running the defensive coordinator out of town, and now we were going to make him like the defensive MVP, right, for all the spectacular job he did against the Eagles. And I started thinking about it. I said, this is the same guy that we were about to run out of town, and this is the place where he had a record. Wasn't he on that team that the Lions only won one game that year? So before we crown Joe Barry, and you know, to paraphrase the late Dennis Green, before we crown him, let's take a look at it. And you know, for the past five seasons or so, the Lions have just given the Burgundy a goal a hard time. So.
Yeah, even when the Lions have been extremely bad, I mean, they're bad a lot, but there was one coming off of that historically bad season with all those losses. They were still losing to start the next season. I think they won like an 18 straight game losing streak, and they snapped it, I didn't know this, against the Redskins.
Yes.
They've been extreme. If they would just play the Redskins for 16 straight weeks, they might be able to do something.
And they feel this. They believe that. And even when the Burgundy goal came back, took the lead at 17-13. There didn't seem to be any panic on the Lions, right?
No, and we got them right where we want them.
We've had a bad game here, fellas, but I think we're going to be okay, right? You know, and it was precision. It was Matthew Stafford at his best. It was a shame, and you know, let's face some facts here. We lost our two starting cornerbacks, right?
Correct.
Any team loses their two starters at cornerback, they're going to have some problems, right?
Right.
And we lost the high-paid All-Pro and the other guy.
Speaking of the high-paid All-Pro, we're going to have a good segment next segment with Ronald Agers, contributing writer at True Hoops Networks and at ESPN.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Sport World Order, talking about Josh Norman. He's in North Carolina, so he's going to kind of talk a little bit about the Panthers.
Right.
And we'll talk to him a little bit about Josh Norman and how they miss him. But there were two plays, really, I felt that kind of changed the momentum of the game. Early on, when Matt Jones had that fumble in the red zone, going into the end zone, he fumbles the ball, Detroit recovers. Even though, and I understand there's plenty of, you still had a chance to win, you're up by, you know, you're up by 4 points with less than a minute and a half left on the clock, with a minute five, and I understand all that. But, and yes, that was early in the game, but that's a huge play. I mean, you have the chance to go up. I believe at that time it would have been 7-0, and to jump on the Lions early in a game, and you didn't know this then, but in a game where points wouldn't come easy, or at least fast, for whatever reason. That would be, you would assume they'd be scoring a lot. But points wouldn't come easy or fast in this game. There wouldn't be a lot of points scored. You need all the points you can get. That was a big-time play.
Now, I'm going to give him a pass on that one. I'm going to give him a pass because he lost the ball fighting for extra yardage. And
on the second fumble. The first fumble, no one touched him. He headed right to the end zone, drops the ball.
Yeah, yeah. But see, I found out, I did a little, like, you know how they have the enhanced audio on the field nowadays? This is some sound of Matt Jones in the backfield as soon as he gets the ball. That's what he does. You figure a guy 235 pounds so just big. Hit the hole. Yeah. This dude starts. Why does he do that, right? You know, just put your foot down, put your head down, square them shoulders, and go. He won't do that. He will not do that.
Yeah, well, and so he fumbles that. So he fumbles the ball. The Lions recover, and you're like, oh man, you know, you miss out on a golden opportunity. You're not sure how often. You know, you're going to get that. And then there's the second fumble. I believe the Lions, just scored at that time. And he fumbles again. And you're like, you felt that the Skins were getting the momentum and that they were going to put some points on the board. And then that just blows the air out the tires again. I know you want to give them points for that, for fighting for extra yards, but you got to hold on to that ball.
Yeah, you do. But still, if you're exerting effort trying to make a gain, you still have to hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. The guy on the TV broadcast was talking about the pressure points, the four pressure points, the front of the ball, the back of the ball, the forearm, and your chest, and all that. Maybe you need 5 pressure points from Matt, but he has that label now. You know, for a couple of times it would be a fluke, right? Mm-hmm. But now he has that label, and with the way Chris Thompson was running and the way Rob Kelly was running, mm-hmm. Matt Jones is in serious jeopardy right now.
Well, by the way, Chris Thompson, 12 carries for 73 yards. Matt Jones, 10 carries for 27 yards.
Do you think that Chris Thompson has the durability to be a every down
well,
back?
Well, see, and that's the thing. I mean, and you look at durability, but then not only that, you know, some guys excel in certain roles. You know, mm-hmm. some guys excel because, you know, they fit that third down back. They fit that back that can get you a lot of yards or a ton of yards based on it being third down, maybe third and mid-range, and teams thinking that you're going to, you know, run pass the ball, mm-hmm. and you end up running some draws and options like that. And so he may be effective not as an every down back, but as, you know, as that third down back, as that change of pace.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, I don't know how durable he'd be, but that would have to be in the defensive's mind every time he's on, you know, he's on the field.
Right.
Really have an option to run or pass, except that, I mean, they ran that jet sweep, you know, from the shotgun all that time. From third and one, I hate seeing a shotgun on a third down, because we did the math. You got 1 yard to go, the quarterback is 5 yards behind the center, that means you got to gain 6, yeah. and then if they're in, like, the pistol, the run right. back 7 yards back.
Right.
So you got to gain 8. You got to run 8 yards
just
to gain
one. Right. Yeah,
it just don't add up.
No, it doesn't add up. It doesn't happen in anybody's math. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. The Redskins fall to 4-3 after a 20-17 loss. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Josh Norman injury. You know, looking back at it, he came down really, really hard on his head, you know, after that long catch from, I think that was Golden Tate. I'm not 100%
sure. Oh, no, that was Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones.
Who was a big boy, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And had Josh beat. And then he came. And so you see that, and you're like, oh, goodness, the floodgates are going to open. And then you've got Breshad Breeland going down. You're like, oh, my goodness, this is really going to be open season. But to be honest with you, it seemed, besides that last drive, Detroit still couldn't generate, you know, any kind of offense.
Yeah, but the last drive, you know, you got to look at the defense. It wasn't, they were playing like a mix of man or zone. I saw Sue Cravens. I didn't even know that he was active.
Right, yeah, right.
Did he run from the bench or the safety bench? He just barely missed him. And the guys were like, they were running feet free.
Yeah.
And like I said, these were some big boys too. Anquan Boldin, mm-hmm. and Marvin Jones. I mean, you look at them compared to the Burgundy and Gold's defensive backs. Every time they caught the ball, there was an extra 4 yards, mm-hmm. because just of the size differential.
No, absolutely. And one thing we had talked about the last couple of weeks that it seemed like the Eagles didn't realize and the Ravens didn't understand and the Browns didn't. They can run the ball in this team. And the Lions definitely tried their hand at running the ball against the Redskins. Very effective, by the way. And at least in the first half, they were very effective running the ball. It seemed like they stopped in the second half and just started throwing the ball all over the place. But and when I look at it, they didn't even have a ton of rushing attempts. But it seemed like when they were running the ball, they were very effective. effective. They wanted to do it in the first quarter, it seemed, but in the second quarter, halfway through the second, and in the second half, they didn't do it at all.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I mean, I'm sure that the Lions came into it with a game plan of what they wanted to do, what they were going to establish. And again, the guys, most of the time, I tell you, I'll watch the a game on television with the volume completely down because I don't really want to hear what these guys got to say, depending on
who's doing it.
Yeah. But they kept saying, like, when the defensive back went out, oh, yeah, I threw at him, the new guy, right away. Let's test him right away, you know. And the Lions didn't do that. And you got to kind of give Jim Caldwell some credit because he didn't deviate from his game plan.
Right.
He stuck, no matter what was happening, he stuck with the game plan. It was trying to control the ball and trying to keep the ball out of Kurt's hands. Mm-hmm. And they had a pretty balanced attack.
No, they absolutely did. And by the way, if you're looking for a few bright spots, Kirk Cousins had a good game. I mean, this is probably one of the better games he had this season. 30 for 39, 301 yards, one touchdown. And if you're looking for more bright spots from the offense, Jamison Crowder.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamison Crowder can ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Vernon Davis, right? You mm-hmm. know, that people thought that he was washed up. Did you see prior to the game, you know, Kirk had his whole family there, right? The whole Cousins clans, right? Uh-huh. You know, they had like the Pee Wee League coach and the next door to Davis dog and all mm-hmm. of them were there. He had like 50 people there, right? So I'm glad that he had the opportunity to come through because he was obviously tight early. The rhythm was off. And by the way, did Pierre Garçon miss the team flight or something?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, Pierre Garçon only had 2 receptions for 22 yards and seemed like he wasn't even targeted a lot. There was a couple plays late in the game where it was a third and short and Pierre wasn't in there. And you're like, why in the world isn't Pierre Garçon in the game? And DeSean Jackson actually was out in that same play. And you're trying to figure out, why aren't the stars in the game?
The packaging, man. The packaging.
What's going on?
It's the packaging. You're going to need those packages and all this and the packages. And there was one of those times that he wasn't in when Ryan Grant was in, and apparently there was an audible call, and Ryan didn't get it, and Vernon Davis ran a route right into the same area.
They were basically running. Seems like they were running beside each other.
Bringing the extra defenders to where Kirk threw the ball. It was supposed to be a timing pass and all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can blame Grant. I kind of blame Kurt on that. If you see something's not right, don't throw the ball in the area. Right?
That's don't throw it to them anyway.
Right? They got big blue uniforms on, right? If you see some extra blue over there, you don't have to throw that one, Kurt.
Certain skins.
I know, you know.
White and blue. That's what I
know. Captain Kirk, you feel like you can get it in there. I know you feel like you can get it in there, but you know, hey, take a knee or something, right? Oh no, don't take a knee. You do that the wrong time.
Chris Thompson, by the way, 7 catches for 40 yards, and so big game.
Awesome
from
game
him as well.
Awesome
so
game.
You may want to feature him a little bit more in the offense. The Redskins improved to fall to 4. Well, so used to saying improve after 4
that?
Straight wins,
and now streak.
I'm not sure how to do a game after a loss anymore.
Man, how
right?
do you do that? So we've been headed for 14-2.
We've got to adjust to 13-3.
Yeah, we'll take it.
The Redskins fall in Detroit to the Detroit Lions 20-17. Coming up on the next segment, we're going to have a great conversation with Ronald Agers. He's in North Carolina, contributing writer at True Hoops and ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Sport World Order, talking about the Carolina Panthers, talking about Josh Norman leaving Carolina, how all that played, trying to figure out what is wrong with Carolina. 1-5 after a Super Bowl. What in the world is going on? He's got answers. We've got questions. He's got answers. I also want to ask him, too, about Cam Newton. You know, he always gets two things. Number one, about, you know, all the hits that he takes.
Yeah.
You know, he takes a ton of hits, and it seems like the refs let them play through.
Yeah,
if it were a smaller quarterback, I would assume that it wouldn't, you know, go so well. But he's so big. And so I just want to ask him about that and how that's playing in Carolina.
Have you ever been to Charlotte?
I have actually, by the way. Yeah.
It's kind of a strange town, right? Because it's like it's new. It's like somebody just took the bubble wrap off of it or something, right?
Yes.
It's grown as a metropolis because of industries such as like Bank of America. A lot of companies are based out of Charlotte, but it's not a real city. It's like it's a transient city because most of those people from Charlotte aren't from North Carolina.
I have an in-law who's from around here, and he lives in Charlotte and loves Charlotte, and he's dating someone who who's from New Jersey
and lives in Charlotte.
And now she lives in Charlotte. But it's a very interesting city. So we'll ask him about that. See how the city is taking on a Cam Newton. But also, I want to ask him about Cam Newton's kind of demeanor when they lose. You know what I mean? You watch him, and he's kind of, we try to, I want to just ask him about that. Like, just answer the questions. Like, just have the woe is me party at home. You know what I mean? Like, you're making millions of dollars. You play football, and you're on these commercials. That? Like, relax, okay? I understand you lost. You don't want to lose. I love people who don't like to lose. I don't like to lose. Yeah. But at the same time, you're professional.
Can I go back to the Burgundy and go before we go back to break?
Hey, it's your show, man. We can do whatever you want to do.
That is true. How about that?
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
You know, they won the toss again, and they elected to defer. Why do teams persist on doing that? I don't understand. You most of the time when you score, you're on offense. So get the ball. Just look at how they controlled the ball last week against Philly, the amount of time that they kept the ball. What if now last week? I think Philly won the toss last week. I don't really recall. I think it was a home game, right? So anyway,
and you were saying you were making this point last week about the first.
And it seemed like the more you have the ball, the less the other team has. Philly only had the ball for like 5 minutes last week.
Right.
They could have kept it, and then Philly only had for 2 minutes. So please, if you listen, I know you listen, Coach Gruden. I know. Don't tell nobody. I know you're listening. Stop doing that, man.
Well, I actually kind of understand why you would defer, because you figure you give them the ball. If you get a stop, or if you get hot in the second quarter, you get the ball back, and so you could put together back-to-back scores.
I
think I'm on the side of deferring the kick. If you win, if I have a choice, I'd rather take it in the second half.
Yeah, that depends on what happens at the end of the first half. That you need some contributing factors to allow that to occur in your favor. But when you win the toss and you got the ball, then you got the ball. Right.
Well, we're going to defer to the next segment here on the Federal Football Report. Again, the Redskins fall to 4-3 after a 20-17 loss in Detroit at the hands of the Detroit Lions. Headed to London, by the way, to play Cincinnati next week. We'll talk about that game coming up. But first, we've got Ronald Agers coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. You can catch us there 24/7. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins lose in Detroit 20-17 in heartbreaking fashion, by the way. We got to get an update on Trent Williams and Josh Norman. But before we do that, we've got a guest on the line with us, Kevin. All the way from North Carolina, we've got Ronald Agers, contributing writer at True Hoops Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Sport World Order. Hey, Ron, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Anytime. So you're down there in Carolina. Before we get to some Carolina ties to the Redskins, talking about Josh Norman, give us an update on those Panthers, man. What's going on with Carolina?
Let me tell you something. Basically, this ain't nothing but a Super Bowl hangover. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're 1-5, and the last team that came out of the Super Bowl, out of a Super Bowl loss with this type of a mess was the 2004 Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they know when they mess up, they know what they're doing.
Right. What's interesting, though, man, one of the big stories in the beginning of the season, and I mean, it was so obvious, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it played big in Carolina, was the hits that Cam Newton was taking. I mean, it's almost like the Shaq syndrome, how Shaq would get hacked so much and that the rest wouldn't call it because he's so big. Same thing with Cam. How was that plan down there, and how is Cam doing? What was the local media, how were they responding to it?
Basically, it's funny that you mentioned the Shaq comment, because really you're pretty much the only one I've heard other than myself to say it like that.
Well, because that's what you get on the Federal Football Report, man, that kind of in-depth, unique analysis.
Because you know something, they don't have that kind of analysis down here. The funny thing about the Carolina Panthers fans is I almost call them like a wine and cheese crowd.
Okay.
When they win, everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. Everybody knows that we were expected to win. Now that they're losing, you hear all the whining and complaining and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton did not adjust his game enough to protect his body. Mm-hmm. You would think enough that when he had his ankle problems, that he would learn to slide, get out of bounds, work for the next play. But he continues to have this reckless abandon when he goes through his first couple of reads, just run the ball, and now he's taking hits for it. Yeah. A lot of complaints was going around when Denver hit him four or five times, but what are you going to do? You got to hit him hard, because if you don't, he's going to run over you. He's 6'5", 265 pounds, and he's a dynamic force in the National Football League. Plus, he's the MVP. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of it is his fault. A lot of it is the Carolina Panthers' fault for not coaching him to get out of bounds, do what you're supposed to do, live for the next play. Mm-hmm. Now, when he had that concussion in Atlanta, against that two-point conversion, he was Cadillacing. And he didn't think anybody was going to hit him. They took a shot at him.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
period, point blank.
Yeah. It appears to me that the defensive know if the officials are going to let you take a shot, they'll take a shot. I mean, it shouldn't have to be in Aaron Rodgers' MVP-type season, he's not going to be subject to that type of punishment. And I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? But speaking of the Panthers organization, we were here in Washington, the benefits of some of their decision-making, the fact that they let their Josh Norman, their all-pro cornerback, they had franchised him at one point, and then they reversed the decision, decided to remove the franchise tag. Were you surprised that they did that, that they ended up letting Josh walk?
No, I'm not. Because think about it. Gettleman is kind of a my way or the highway type of general manager. You got to understand, they let Steve Smith go for nothing, basically nothing, too. And now he's up in Baltimore, still playing well. They didn't, and more importantly, they did not replace him that year. Mm-hmm. Now they have two young receivers, Devin Funches, Kevin Benjamin. They're up and coming, but they're not established yet. So now Greg Olsen's by himself. Throw a box around him in his coverage, and if they're not catching the ball on the receiving end, wide receivers, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And Cam Newton basically has a trained seeing eye dog when it comes to looking at his favorite receivers. Now, as for Josh Norman, they were not going to pay this guy $15 million. Mm-hmm. Now, look, and I'm going to say, look, the Redskins are known for overpaying position players. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. But at least franchise tag him. Figure out a way to get something for him. You got a year to figure something out. And work that way mm-hmm. instead of just letting him go. And if you don't want to do that, bring in a veteran. They let Roman Harper go. Tillman, they let him go. He retired. Mm-hmm. There's no veteran leadership in the second. And Ben Wickery, after getting smoked by Jones, he goes in the locker room and tells everybody on tape, "I need to work on my conditioning."
Yeah, that's.
I mean, what is your job as an athlete?
Right. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing the other 6 months that you're not playing football? If you got an outside, you got to work on your condition.
You got to work on your. One thing, it's just like coming to work and you 4 hours late, and you say, "I might need to get a clock."
Oh,
maybe
my
alarm system needs to work. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to come up with a way to get to work on time.
To get to work on
That's
time
basically what being. And he was cut 6 days later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, he has time to work in that conditioning now.
Ron Akers, contributor writer for ESPN.com and True Hoops Network.
Yeah. Is it from top to bottom? Then it seems like the Panthers organization, they have sort of like a. Devil may care attitude. Like, if we win, it's great. If we don't, we still get fans coming in. Is that what it's looking like down there?
You know something? I think what happened, they won the division so many times in a row, they thought they could just figure it out. My thing here is this. Cam Newton is the MVP. He saw the success last year so easy. 14-0. They lose in Atlanta. Then they go to the Super Bowl. Now there's adversary. Mm-hmm. Now they have to take the best games from everybody every week. They never adjusted to that. And you can tell Cam Newton did not work on his game. He had to do his chip and dip and dip commercial. Luke Kuechly had to do his security, home security commercial. Even Ron Rivera had to do his Cadillac commercial. As you can see, they've gone Hollywood. This is what happens. When you're shooting commercials, it takes away from looking at your game film.
Mm-hmm. Hey, brother, gotta make a living, man.
Yeah. But you know something? Mm-hmm. You remember Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan realized when you get rings and championships, the endorsements come to you.
Mm-hmm. True, true. Mm-hmm.
And you still get money. Cam Newton had figured that out.
Wow, this is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We're speaking with Ronald Agers in North Carolina, contributing writer at ESPN.com, also True Hoops Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Sport World Order. Another question for you. You know, one thing that gets national play, and it definitely did after the Super Bowl, is Cam's demeanor after losses. Seeing how they're losing more than they're winning this year, you get to see that a lot. How is that playing down there? Are folks tired of the kind of the crying and the whimpering and the pouting and things like that when you lose? But when you score a touchdown, you're ripping open your shirt with the Superman, you know, thing.
Yeah, they've always had a love-hate relationship with Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is this. He's always been that way. He was that way last year. He was just covered up by all the winning.
Right, right.
They never really wanted him down here. They wanted Andrew Luck.
Mm.
Andrew Luck went back to Stanford. Then they drafted Cam Newton. They've always complained about how he sulks on the sideline, but he's always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put that on Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera, Gettleman, and Richardson, because you knew this is the type of guy he was.
You're getting them passion there, and I love it personally, man. We're going to have to get you more on more often. Now, you know the Burgundy and Gold matches up with the Panthers, I believe, in December, something like week 13.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe by then they'll be fighting for a playoff berth, or what do you think?
You mean the Redskins or the Panthers?
Both, man. It might be a do-or-die game for both of them.
Well, let me tell you this way. I don't see them making the playoffs.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
If they lose to Arizona next week, it's a wrap.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They're going to be 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
They've already lost 3 games in the division. Atlanta's for real. They're just not a real good team, right? Mm. And they have no running game at all.
Oh, man, doesn't sound good.
Got to run the ball when it gets cold.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true. That's what we're trying to scream up here. Run the ball, man. Jeez Louise.
Well, look, Ron, we appreciate your time, man. We hope you're going to join us again, man. We really enjoyed this.
Oh, no problem, man. Anytime.
All right, that was Ronald Agers down in North Carolina giving us the scoop on the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, Josh Norman, and the Panthers defense without Norman. I love it when guys get passionate about this stuff, man.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Coming up next on the Federal Football Report, we'll take a look at the Redskins' next opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals, over in London. We'll try to rebound from this 20-17 heartbreaking loss at the hands of the Detroit Lions.
Bad feeling.
It's coming up on the Federal Football Report. Welcome back to the final segment of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins fall to 4-3 on the season after a 20-17 loss at the hands of the Detroit Lions. By the way, thanks to our man now in Carolina.
Yeah,
we'll have him back on. I love it when these guys get passionate. You know what I mean? Because this is a show of passion. You know, if we were in a race in the Olympics, we'd dive across the finish line.
I was thinking about Shawnee's a little earlier today, right? We need that passion, right? And we need it from our running backs, and we need it from our reporters too, right? We need it on our talk show hosts, Stephen A. The company accepted B. Mitch, right? But we need that. I wonder what first take is going to be like in the morning, man. It should be very interesting.
Everyone should watch that, by the way. And so again, special thanks to our man Ronald Agers from down in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can follow him at Sport World Order, talking about Carolinas. But back to the Redskins, they dropped one 20-17 loss in almost Stephen A. Smith prophetic way, right? It's going to be interesting to see what he has to say about this. And here's the thing, only because such a big deal was made about his comments, you know what I mean, about them. And you kind of get what he's saying, because we've talked a little bit about that. Now, we didn't call the team losers, obviously.
No, no.
But we were just saying, hey, let's be a little measured about how good we think we are, because you do, again, they don't count how pretty the wins are at the end of the season. They don't even count how many teams you beat that were actually good.
Right.
It's just how many wins do you have. But let's remember, the Skins, we all think that they won the East because the Cowboys had lost Tony Romo, and so they didn't have their guy, and so we understand that.
Right.
The Eagles were horrible. Giants couldn't find a way to win a close game. But they won the East.
Oh, yeah.
But it was clear, though, because when you look at the schedule last year, they couldn't beat a team with a winning record. You know what I mean? All the wins were against teams who could not, who weren't winning, who had losing records. And so you see the disparity where it's like you're not beating good teams, but still, that doesn't matter. You're beating who you're playing.
Beating who's on the schedule. That's right.
And so what Stephen A. Smith is saying is, like, don't get too excited about it because you're not beating anybody. And I get what he's saying, but did he cross the line when you're calling these players? Here's the thing. Did he cross the line when he called these guys losers, and that there's a loser mentality here in Washington, number one? But then number two, as a professional athlete and a player, what is your response to the media? At some point you have to learn that, you know, folks are going to say what they say. He's a reporter. He's going to talk. I play the game. I don't care what he's talking about. Like, how sensitive should these players be? It never ceases to amaze me how someone will say something stupid on Twitter, like Beyonce can't sing. Beyonce doesn't respond to that stuff. She's like, I'm too busy counting my money. I don't got time to be responding to these stupid people saying I can't sing. What are you, crazy?
But if she did, I'd keep that tweet forever. Hey, yeah, Beyonce responded to me. You know, what they should do is start winning. If they don't want anybody to call them losers, start winning. Right? Let me see. By a show of hands, anybody call Tom Brady a loser out there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's what they have to do. And they're human beings. I understand that. And it's part of a game. They get paid a lot of money to put up with that. I mean, you know,
because you're going to get criticized about it. Yeah, I mean, the team does get criticized a lot, but imagine being a player in one of these tougher media towns like New York. I mean, New York media kills the players.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're in Boston. I mean, these guys get it bad, you know, and you can't be out there just responding to everything some reporter says about you.
Yeah, you can't. And as members of the media, we can't take it personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're not. So what? It's a game, ladies and gentlemen. It's right. Just a game.
Right.
You know, which leads us to something we were talking about during the break. But the fine that Vernon Davis was fined. $12,000 for shooting a football, like a basketball, right?
How crazy. Now, how crazy is the league getting with these celebration fines? And I mean, when you score, right? I mean, I remember being a kid and being on the playground, and when you catch an interception, and if you're taking it back, you do the Dion high step.
That's right.
I mean, that's what part of the game. People like that stuff. I mean, my son, 3 years old. The Redskins game against the Steelers to open the season. He sees Antonio Brown scores a touchdown and starts dancing. He's trying to do the dance like at three, you know, because he thinks it's funny. Like, we like that stuff. Why is the league trying to take away the stuff that, you know, it's like, be hard on the things you need to be hard on, whether it's drug suspension, whether it's, you know, domestic violence, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Lay down the hammer with that. But if a guy scores, as long as he's not spiking the ball at the opponent or dancing in somebody's face or something,
right.
But if he's by himself or with his teammates, now, I don't like the whole thing about having a Sharpie in your sock and taking that out and trying it, or doing, you know, or posing like you're taking a team picture. You know, the extravagant, the extreme stuff that, like, literally, you know, like, halts the game until they're finished. You know what I mean? Like, if it delays the game because they're doing all this stupid stuff, I get that. But throwing the ball, or even Josh Norman with the arrow, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, the strange thing about it to me is I agree with everything you just said. You know, this, you never heard the thing about the NFL no fun league. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I don't know what it is they're trying to accomplish. They're not delaying the game. They have penalties for that. They call it delay of game penalties, right?
Right?
You know, what is it that they're trying to accomplish? Now, what they're doing is, because of the inconsistency in the manner in which they call it, they're affecting the outcome of the game. Perfect example. Last week when Vernon Davis was penalized for, it's, it's the same penalty as if you tried to take out somebody's knees.
Right.
You know,
right.
15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct. Because of that, they were forced to kick off from their own 15 or 20 like that. Mm. You know, now Hopkins, Dustin Hopkins, you know, leads the league and kicked the ball out the end zone. Because of that, because they had to move the ball and kick off from the 20 or 15 or whatever, mm-hmm. they gave Darren Sproles a chance to run the ball back because the ball like came down to like the 15-yard line.
Right.
Same thing happened today, except they didn't call it. The same Antoine right. Bolden caught the touchdown pass, mm-hmm. threw the ball to like the row XX in the stands.
Just threw it.
Just threw it as far as he can. If they had called that same 15 yards, mm-hmm. Detroit would have had to kick off from like their 15 or 20. Mm-hmm. Now, all the Skins had to do was get in the field goal range.
But
they didn't have an opportunity to do that because of the inconsistent, because this particular officiating crew decided not to call it.
Right, yeah. Now, you do leave it up to the discretion of the refs, and like you said, it just depends on who's the guy calling the play. I don't understand what's so offensive about the celebrations. I mean, I think people like that stuff. We all do. And all this stuff about, oh, well, back in the day when the integrity of, that's foolishness. I remember Icky was doing the Icky Shuffle. Like,
exactly.
I had a name to the dance. And we do the same thing. I mean, like, I don't understand what this adds to the game or what integrity you're trying to protect by stopping the celebrations in the end zone. To me, it adds flavor to the game. It adds flair. It adds excitement. Fans love it. Kids love it. And even the casual fans love the celebration.
Right, right.
People were talking about Antonio Brown twerking in the end zone. Like, everybody was out. Like, the casual fans love it.
Yeah,
like, what do you have to lose? And especially when you have serious issues, like we talked about with drugs, with domestic violence, with concussions, and with all that kind of stuff, where you can have fun and where you can still hold on to the casual fan. I think you should, sometimes you have just flat out bad games. I think sometimes you need something like that that's just fun.
Right. If you want them to stop celebrating, stop them from scoring.
Exactly.
That's what
I forget who the Panthers were playing last year. We're just talking about this, but Cam Newton scores a touchdown and he goes in the end zone. He starts to dance and this guy comes up and pushes him and then he starts to dance in the guy's face. That was part of the injury. If you want to stop him from dancing, then you need to stop him on the field.
That's right.
I just don't understand what are you going to get out of this and how do you police it? Like you can't do anything. Now, I did see this interesting enough. I think it was a Cleveland Browns game. They scored a touchdown. I think it was 2 weeks ago. They scored.
Newsflash.
Right.
They scored a touchdown.
Yeah, next story, right? And so they score a touchdown, and the player puts the ball down, turns around like a robot, and starts walking off the field like a robot. Like, he's not like, I'm not going to celebrate, not going to do anything. Yeah. Scored a touchdown. I am walking. And we just walk. I think it would be so funny if every single player does that when they score a touchdown.
Yeah,
like, if everybody puts the ball down and just turns around and walks off, like, real plain and calm, like, in a sarcastic kind of way, to show the NFL how ridiculous this is. Like, you know what I mean? Just high fives and that's it? No. I think you should put the ball down, walk off like robots, and make a statement like that.
It is just so confounding to me, because there was a report this past week, the NFL talking about how ratings have gone down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't gone down a tremendous amount. It's the NFL. But they're still going down. And they can't see the correlation with doing things, removing all the individuality from it, with people losing interest, right? A casual fan will see what they're doing, mm-hmm. and say, look, I don't have a time for this. They're trying to be like, like the military or something,
well, yeah,
right?
And it brings personality out, because remember, I mean, you know, we talk about this sometimes, like the difference when you're looking at, you know, some of the basketball stars and the football stars. Basketball, these guys aren't wearing helmets. You see their face. You can see the personality. You know, that's all there for them. In this game, I mean, these guys wear helmets. You know, some of these guys, you wouldn't know what they look like if you saw them in the street. You know what I mean? Because you don't get to see their faces a lot. And so a lot of times they make these big plays. They do this dance. They do this stuff. I mean, Von Miller got a whole NFL 2016 commercial because of his dance. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
He's sitting there. It's like they've got like made like 20 Von Millers and they're all like dancing like a music video.
Right.
Because that's what he does. You know. And so I don't understand what the league is trying to accomplish with this whole thing.
Yeah. Certainly isn't player safety. But you know, I know It went too far last week when I saw Cole Beasley dancing in the end zone, right? Right. If Cole Beasley can dance, everybody can dance. So come on, league. Let's get a grip on this.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. So coming up next week, the Redskins travel to London to take on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's on October 30th. Hey, man, that's the day before Halloween. Maybe we can talk a little bit of Halloween on that show. 32-17, the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Browns today, 32-17, so they're on the win, so they're coming off of a win, headed to London. Before we talk about the game, just in general, do you think these London games are a good idea?
I absolutely hate them, man. I absolutely hate them.
Well, because, I mean, you got these teams traveling, right? Now, unless the next week is a bye week, but even then, they're still short because they played the week before. They got to get adjusted to the time. Then they've got people who are, quote-unquote, the home team, as if anybody is traveling, you know, in mass numbers to give any kind of home field advantage. I don't understand what you're trying to do. Are you really going to start an NFL franchise in Europe?
Well, like, you remember
in the world is going to travel to Europe?
Remember the what did they call it? The developmental league. They had teams in like Berlin and Austria and stuff like that. It didn't pan out. I never really understand. Well, you know, of course, everything the league does is about money. They don't make a move. They don't breathe, right, if it's not about money. So
the
late
Jack Kemp says revenue's king, right?
Yes, indeed. So, you know, the possibility of opening a franchise, for lack of a better word, right, in London, and owners can use that to leverage other teams, like their cities. Like, we need a new stadium. If you don't, we'll just go play in Wembley or something, right? You know, whatever. But it's really, really ridiculous because, number one, you look at these games, the fans don't appreciate what's happening. Right. They don't know the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if it was at a place of, let's say Germany, where there's a large U.S. military presence, so guys could, like, once a year, and that's enough, go see an NFL game, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, bus players in, I mean, bus soldiers and air corpsmen and Marines and stuff in, let them watch. It doesn't have to be in a massive stadium. You know, I can see the appreciation.
Okay, sure.
For that, but it just doesn't make any sense to me
at all. And I'm not sure what in the world the NFL is trying to do with these whole lineups. I mean, just, like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Absolutely.
I believe. Anyway, they play the Cincinnati Bengals. Keys to the game, again, if you're the Redskins defense, you got to stop the run. You can't let them run up and down the field on you. And then, by the way, it all depends on what happens with these cornerbacks. You know, they've got some good receivers over there in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton, a pretty good quarterback. And so if Norman and Breland's not right, not ready, it could be a long day.
I would advise people to just right now go and grab A.J. Green, put him on your fantasy team right now. You know, as much as I love the Burgundy and Gold, we must be realistic and idealist. It's going to be a long, long day for the Burgundy and Gold in the defensive backfield. Now, let me ask you a question. Josh is going to have to go through the concussion protocol. Will he be able to fly for that period of time?
That's the thing. That's the thing I'm worried about, because through that, and I don't know when the team is actually traveling. I would imagine that their travel day is sooner than it would be if they were going to, you know, if they were playing the Cowboys in Dallas, or if they were, you know, going to Tennessee. I mean, they're going to London, so I don't know when the team actually travels. And so I don't think that if he doesn't pass the concussion protocol by the time the team's on the plane, that he's going to be able to be on the plane. Now, will they charter a jet for him to, you know, make a last minute travel if he actually can play or pass, you know, Friday? Maybe, you know, but I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't pass it, he can't get on the flight. I almost think that that's one of the reasons that Jordan Reed didn't travel with the team all to Detroit, because having to fly. And so, I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to go by boat over to London. And so that maybe something. So he may miss that game.
So if there's a doctor out there listening to the Federal Football Report, you can hit us up on Twitter at FFRep and let us know, can Josh Norman fly with a concussion? I mean, well, he probably thinks he's flying right now.
he was really wobbled on that play. He hit the turf so hard, man, when he had, you know, with that. But, Andy Dalton, again, put up pretty good numbers. The Bengals struggling this year, by the way, 3-4. And so they're trying to get to 500. The Skins trying to avoid 500. Andy Dalton, 19 for 28 today against the Browns, 308 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1-2 A.J. Green. A.J. Green, by the way, 8 receptions, 169 yards.
See, like I said, fantasy players, get them now.
Yeah. and their running backs. Pretty good day for Bernard, 17 rushes, 80 yards. Hill, 9 attempts, 168 yards. And so, look, I mean, and yeah, it's against the Browns, but at the same time, it's the same. The Skins had to play the Browns, and it was, you know, so you play who's in front of you.
Yeah,
you know?
You got
so
you got
the
to.
Bengals are hungry for a win. They see that Ben Roethlisberger hurt with the Steelers, and the Ravens are having a horrible year. The Browns are the Browns. They haven't won a game yet this season. The Browns won. So the AFC North is like really just open for the taking. I mean, it's basically almost what the NFC East was last year. And so even at 3-4, they're going to come to this game hungry because they're like, hey, this AFC North is still wide open, and we've got just as good a shot as anybody to win it, especially with Big Ben out.
Yeah, well, the NFC North is going for a 500 record against the Burgundy and Gold, right? Because Pittsburgh beat us, mm-hmm. and we've already taken care of the Ravens and the Browns. So if we win this game, that it shows this dominance. I mean, on our way to 13-3, it shows this dominance, and we can show certain people around the sports broadcasting world that we are losers.
We are,
right?
And there's a losing mentality, right?
We are not losers. We are winners. We're all winners. The records might not indicate it, but we are winners.
Didn't win Sunday against the Lions, 20-17. On the road, next game against Cincinnati in London, the Redskins fall 2-4-3. Again, that game is going to be in London, so it's an early start time, 9:30 a.m., yeah. I believe. And so that might work out with our schedules, by the way.
Oh, definitely. I love it.
To do this show. By the way, so Josh Norman, the injury there, Breshad Breeland injury there, but then also one of the, I think, things that will affect the team the most, depending on how serious it is. Now, again, we record this show right after the game, so we don't have in-depth information about this right now, but Trent Williams also injured on the second-to-last play of the game.
Yes, second-to-last.
Yeah, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain holding that right knee.
How ironic would that be if he got hurt on like a worthless Hail Mary type play and this and that, and it shouldn't have come to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it. I mean, you gotta play every single down, no matter what it is, every play. And it's a tough situation. And this offensive line has suffered a lot of injuries this year. And fortunately,
yeah, I think Sheriff hurt early in the game too.
He did come back. Mm-hmm. But the thing we got this year that we have not had in years past was depth. In the offensive line, depth mm-hmm. and versatility. We got guys moving over. Morgan Moses has played mm-hmm. some guard, some center. Trent actually played some guard mm-hmm. For a little while this year. So that's key. That's the any success that this team has, it got largely attributed to the versatility and the depth that they've shown on this offensive line. Because in years past, they treated the offensive line was like fries in a Happy Meal, right? You know, sometimes you get the fries, sometimes you get the apple. You know, yeah. whatever, you know. So they didn't care one way or another. But the organization for the past couple of years, and it's got to be Scott McLuhan doing this, has shown that they realize that you got to start it up front, right?
Right.
They need to tighten up that defense. The line a little bit, and those guys have been playing a lot better.
Yeah, no, absolutely, you know? Yeah, sure. Well, I'll tell you one thing: they're going to have their work cut out for them this week. Again, at the time we take the show, we don't have too much as far as injury updates, but I'm pretty sure we'll hear them throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter, by the way, at FF Rep, and we'll have all that for you. So I'll tell you what: yeah, you got the Browns coming up, but if you have no Norman, Bengals, no Bree, yeah, Bengals. Sorry,
you wish the Browns.
Wishing with
wish
the Browns.
Wish you could play them more than once, right?
Got the Bengals.
Think about the AFC North, man.
Like,
they got to play those guys
twice.
They got to play them twice, man. We got to play Ben Roethlisberger and less Steelers twice, man. Let's just give the division now.
Illegal.
That's right.
But if there's no Josh Norman, no Breshad Breeland, but you got AJ Green on the other side, that could mean trouble. If there's no Trent Williams, that could mean trouble. Who knows what's going on with Jordan Reed? And so we'll see. It's going to work itself out this week. We'll see what we have, and then it'll be the Redskins and Browns. Redskins and Bengals. It's wishful thinking going on.
Right,
Redskins and Bengals next week in London, and we'll be back with you next week to wrap up the show and look ahead. And as a matter of fact, after that show, we'll have a bye week, and so we'll be able to kind of forecast and see, you know, what we think. And it's good that this bye week, by the way, comes in after 8 games. You know, you play
perfect.
8, you mm-hmm. see where you are, where you need to improve, and you try to hit this home stretch. And so we'll have a home stretch edition of the Federal Football Report after that. This is the Federal Football Report for Kevin Stanfield and for our buddy Ronald Ager down in North Carolina. I'm Claude Jennings. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.